We are in a spiritual war with forces of darkness all around us, amen. And yet, the biggest problem is most of the body of the church, amen, here nationally and globally, amen, either does not understand that or don't, you know, maybe don't even know it, you know, or maybe just not living like it. But no matter what, we are at war. Amen. We talked about, amen, the wars that we see, you know, we see on the global stage, amen, and just thinking about some of those things. But we have gotten so comfortable. All right. Can I say that again? Amen. Are y'all comfortable this morning? Do we need to adjust the heat some or get you some water? See, that's what we want. We want to be comfortable. Isn't that right? Yeah, so we become comfortable and relaxed, amen. And for the most part, amen, spiritually asleep.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
We're going to wake somebody up this morning. Amen. But, you know, we're spiritually asleep, amen, and have become so comfortable with Sunday morning service. And for a few, a very few these days, you know, there's a weekly Bible study or maybe a small group. Amen. But Sundays, for most, is, you know, we come in on Sunday and we put the check in the box and we go on about our business. Amen. And we really aren't challenged. You know, when I say we, I'm talking about the church at large. Yes. Amen. Yes. And let's go. If it hits home, let it hit home. But I'm, you know, talking about the church at large. Amen. We become comfortable. Amen. And we go about, amen, and we're not challenged to engage in spiritual warfare or make disciples, amen, as Christ has commanded us to do, amen. But we're just comfortable to continue living our blessed life and enjoying our salvation, praise the Lord, amen, and all is well. I'm good, right? No, but in spite of the lethargic church, the war rages on. You know, and as this war is raging on, amen, the enemy is taking more and more territory.
Yes, he is.
Amen. More and more into a pagan nation.
Amen.
While we relax on Sunday morning.
Wow.
Yes, help us, Lord. Because we're supposed to be workers.
Yes.
We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. We used to sing a song about that. You see, some of y'all know it. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a deserter. Oh, we going somewhere this morning, so I hope y'all ready. Because we kind of laid the foundation on last week, but I want us to recognize this war is real. And as long as the enemy can soothe our senses, amen, and continue to allow us to be comfortable, we are not a threat. We are not a threat to his kingdom, amen. But we need to be, right? And even the Bible warns us, say, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Amen. We are supposed to be troublemakers for the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be shaking things up. The scripture talks about the 12 disciples. They said they turned the then known world upside down. They weren't passive and they weren't quiet and they weren't, you know, just so humble that they didn't speak of Jesus and his goodness. Amen. They didn't engage the warfare, but they did. Amen. And that's why, you know, when you study their deaths, they died some gruesome deaths. Because they made folk mad. They didn't stone Stephen because he was leaving them alone. Amen. They stoned him because he was stirring things up and making them uncomfortable. Amen. You know, so we got to stop and look. Amen. Last week as we looked, amen, the New Testament is filled with references to this war. Yet we don't read them or maybe we don't take them seriously. You know, we look at them like they're just a metaphor, but they are reality. He is talking about a real war, amen, as we go and we're engaged in that war, amen. And there are many different types of people, amen, that war produces, if I could, you say it like that, amen. You know, and many are victims of war, and we see that even on the world stage right now. Amen. Innocent people being killed and dying in the process of war. Amen. And it's no difference in the kingdom of God. It's happening. You know, so we look at some of those different people. Amen. I kind of mentioned some of them on last week, but we want to take a closer look at them. Amen. And see how it fits. You know, of course, there's always leaders. Amen. On each side of the war. Amen. And we know who's leading our side. Or at least I hope you know who's leading our side. The Lord Jesus himself. Amen. And we know who's on the other side. Satan and all his angels. Fallen angels. Amen. Who have become his henchmen. Amen. To come against you and I. And you know, the reality is most Christians will never have to deal with Satan. You ain't making enough trouble to deal with him. He'll send his henchmen to deal with you and me, because if we're not making trouble, they don't call out the big guns. Amen. Right? Amen. You know, so most of us say, man, we will never have to deal directly. We say, Satan did it to me. Satan, he just sent his henchmen. You know, maybe a low-ranking corporal or maybe a sergeant. You know, I don't know where you rank or where I rank, but I hope I'm at least getting a general to come mess with me. Right? I hope I'm at least making that much trouble. Amen. But, you know, so we look at, you know, the metaphor between the two, and we need to understand it's real in the spirit realm. And you got to ask yourself, just like I got to ask myself, am I making any trouble in the spirit world for the name of Jesus? Or am I, you know, one of the best players on the enemy's team? You know, I remember one time we was watching Jericho. And again, I want y'all to continue to pray for my wife. I love her, and I just feel, you know, sometimes, you know, I just don't feel complete when she's not around. You know, but we were at one of Jericho's basketball games when she was in high school, and, you know, we was watching, and they was playing, and Jericho's a hard charger. Amen. But one time she stole the ball from the other team, and she took off for the goal, and she made a layup, beautiful layup, but it was on the wrong end of the court. She scored points for the enemy. How many of us are scoring points for the enemy? Just a thought. Just a thought. Are you the best player on the enemy's team? Let that sink in for a minute. Are we a stumbling block? Not just for Christians, but for the unsaved. Quiet in here. Amen. And it needs to be, because, you know, as we think and think about these things are important. These things are necessary, you know. So we look at who's in charge, amen, and they figure out how this war is supposed to be fought. And Jesus came down, amen, to show us how to fight the war, amen, how to stand, amen, and what we need to be engaging and how we need to be doing. And then he left and said, go and make disciples, amen. And we've gone and made our lives, and we've gone and made homes, and we've gone and built our businesses and our jobs. But where are the disciples? Where are the disciple makers? The scripture lets us know, amen, the harvest is plentiful. Mm-hmm. But the laborers are few. Mm. You know, so as we look at these categories today, I want us to, you know, even as I was, you know, working on this and just letting the Lord deal with my heart. Amen. I had to look at myself as well. And like I said last week, I get it twice, you know, when preparing and when delivering it. So we got to say, okay, how am I? Where am I? What am I doing? What am I doing for the kingdom of God? How am I functioning for the kingdom of God? Or am I just comfortable, amen, in my own ways of doing things? Amen. But there are many people, amen, that are a result of war, amen, and it's complications. Amen. So we want to begin to look, amen, and as we look at these things. But before I go any further, I want to make a couple of disclaimers. Maybe I should have did this before I got started all together, right? A couple of disclaimers. First of all, amen, the scriptures we'll be reading, Amen. I didn't write. Okay. So when it hits home, I'm just reading you the different versions or of the scripture, okay? I may expound on them a little bit, but I didn't write it. Amen. So, I mean, one of them I looked at, I was like, wow, that's, woof. Like, whoa. You know, are we ready for that? You know, but when we look at, you know, he's helping us to see something. And the second thing I want you to know is I love you all, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm not mad at y'all. I'm not mad at nobody. I'm just the messenger. I just want to, you know, just get all that out the way. And finally, I need you to know that Jesus loves you unconditionally. Right? That's why he came and he went to the cross and he bled and died, amen, so that we might be redeemed, amen, and brought back into fellowship and relationship with him, amen. He didn't die for a religion, he died for a relationship, amen. So don't get religious, get close to God. Okay, so he wants us to be in that place, amen, so that we know his voice, amen, and we follow him. So I just want to put those things out there, amen, before we go any further. Amen, because I don't want y'all mad at me because I'm not mad at you, right? So I'm not throwing rocks at nobody, amen. We all live in glass houses, isn't that right? So let's go to work, amen. We're going to start, amen, in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, because one of the things I want to do, first of all, is establish, amen, who we're fighting against. Amen. So in Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, in the King James, it says this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." All right. Amen. Let me say that again. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Uh-huh. Right? Right? So that includes your own sometimes. Right? So, but let's look at this. He said, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, so it's not your brother and sister, your mother, your father, your brother in Christ. Amen. But he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's a spiritual battle. Amen. He's talking about principalities and powers. Amen. That's regions across the nation and around the world where Satan has appointed his henchmen, amen, to take, you know, authority over different areas. Amen. And when I travel sometimes, I can feel the difference in places spiritually. Amen. When we were in Africa, it was a whole different principality there, you know, really there. And then the same in Dubai. Different places you go, even across this nation, you can feel the differences in the spirit. Amen, and how things are being done. But it says that same, those same passages in the Amplified says this: "In conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with him, draw your strength from him." Notice it's saying him, not you, because you don't have any strength. Amen, your strength from him, that strength which he boundlessly might provide. So all the strength you need is in him. Amen. He said, it goes on to say that he will provide. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armored soldier, which God supplies, that ye may be able successfully to stand against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotism, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness. The despotism. I mean, they're just desperate to destroy you as a child of God, right? So we look at this, amen. He says, who are the rulers of darkness, amen, this present darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly supernatural sphere. Tell somebody it's supernatural. Amen. It's above this natural world. Our warfare, amen, is that we're engaged in. You know, so we need to recognize, amen, it's a real battle. Amen. I'm going to give it to you one more version just to try to drive it home a little bit more. So we know where the fight is. Because too often we look at, you know, people. Everybody say people.
People.
Don't you have problems with people sometimes? Got issues with people. People don't know how to act. People get on your nerves. People make you mad. Sometimes you want to slap people. Right? I mean, people. But the Bible tells us to what? Love people. Right? And that's what we got to do. And choose to love. Amen. But in the Message Bible, it states those same verses as such. And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand against everything the devil throws your way. Hear that now. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget a couple of hours in a couple of hours. In other words, this is no sparring match. Right? He said, this is for keeps. What's that mean? It's forever. Amen. What we're fighting, the outcome, the results will be forever. Amen. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. This is for keeps. Amen. You know, remember we used to play marbles, amen. We used to play keepsies sometimes. You know, if you didn't call keepsies, you didn't get to keep marbles, but you had to give them back. But see, you play for keeps, that way you get everybody else's marbles. The devil's playing for keeps. He wants to keep your marbles. In other words, he wants you. Amen. So the Lord wants us to know, amen, amen, that this war began way back in the beginning. Amen. The first salvo in the war, see, when God created Adam and Eve, amen, they were in perfect reunion in relationship with God. Man, there was no problem, no issues, amen. But the thing was that the Garden of Eden was made on earth, but Satan had already been cast to the earth. And see, he comes creeping in the garden and messing with God's children. And because he was able to go in there and deceive them to believe him, to disobey God and partake of the life, the tree of life, not life, but of the knowledge of good and evil. Thank God they didn't get the tree of life first. Because then we'd have been stuck in that condition. But once they did that, man fell. We fell from the relationship with God. When God created Adam and Eve, he said, let them have dominion over the earth. But when they sinned, separation caused them to lose dominion. We lost dominion, we lost relationship. Amen. And thereby, now we are no longer part of his kingdom. We're outside of his plan. And literally, amen, we didn't really belong to the devil. So here we are. A people created by God, but separated from God, amen, and we find ourselves as war creates refugees on the earth. We don't have a home. We're messed up. You know, we sinned against God, amen, so we became displaced, cast out of the garden. Amen. And now we have to fend for ourselves. The Lord told Adam, you got to work by the sweat of your brow. Up until then, he didn't have to work. He just had to keep the garden. You know, it was all good. But now he had to work by the sweat of his brow. He had to do more because he had been separated. He lost dominion. Amen. And the word to Eve was she would have great suffering through childbearing. So, sisters, y'all got all that to blame on Sister Eve. Y'all can talk to her about that later. Because it wasn't so before the sin. All right? So we look at these things, amen, and realize that we were refugees in the earth. Amen. And outside of relationship, lost dominion, all these things. You see, a refugee is a person who's lost the protection of their country. amen, and of the country of origin, and who they cannot or are unwilling to go back because of fear. Amen. And now, so they leave, amen, and they begin to seek asylum somewhere else, protection and acceptance somewhere else, you know, and there was nowhere else for us to go. So what happens is, amen, thank God for his goodness. Amen. Because not only did he make a way through his plan to redeem us, amen, but he also made a way to offer us the opportunity to be repatriated into his kingdom, amen, to become his sons and daughters once again, amen. So he made a way by sending Jesus to the cross, amen, and being the one that took care of all our sins and made a way that we might become again back in relationship with God, back in the position of dominion, amen, and back in his kingdom. So he made a way we could come in. But the war raged on. Amen. So all it took many, you know, you can read through the scripture and took how long it took to get for Jesus to come. They went through a lot of things. Amen. God had to purge some things out of man. Amen. Just to get them to a place they were ready to receive redemption. You know, because he looked and he said, the hearts of man is evil continually. Why? Because when we got separated from God, we begin to follow the ways of this world, the ways of Satan, amen. We didn't really know because we didn't stay where we needed to be under his tutelage and instruction, amen. But through the process of time, God made a way. Aren't you glad about it? He made a way that we could be again back in the kingdom and back in the place of dominion, amen, and be able to have a relationship with him. Amen. But because this war goes on until today, we still got to fight. Now that we're back in the kingdom, now that we're back in relationship, we are now on the right side of the war, but we need to recognize that. Amen. We need to see that it is a war, lest we be taken out in the war. And one of the first things that we look at when I'm looking at the different ones that war produces, amen, is POW. Prisoners of war. Amen. And typically that's a military person that's been captured by the enemy during the war. And now, you know, the Geneva Convention is supposed to protect them and all that. But, you know, most of the time they don't fully follow the rules of war, the rules of engagement. So you're subject to anything. You know, but when we look at it from the spiritual standpoint, amen, in this war we have a cunning adversary and his goal is to use us against ourselves. You say, well, I'm free, I'm not in prison, I'm this. Well, let's hold your horses, amen. Because as we take a look at some of these things, we might see some of ourselves, right? So spiritually, amen, when we become a POW, I mean, these are those that were on the Lord's side, but fell for the traps, the lies, the snares of the devil, amen. His deceptions, his ways of doing things, and are now being held captive, watch what I'm about to say, by their own feelings, addictions, desires of the flesh, amen, and have imprisoned themselves so that they can no longer fight the good fight of faith. They're imprisoned by their own sin. Amen. They love God. But this thing has got a hold of them. So now I can't even fight like I need to fight. I mean, I've seen so many people get entrapped by these things, amen. In times past, I was in prison by my own sin. Come on, Jesus. But thanks be to God, he busted me out of jail. By his spirit and through his word, amen. He busted just like he wants to do us, amen. But we need to realize, amen, that we can be imprisoned by our own desires as we give in to those things, amen. And I know nobody wants to be a POW, a prisoner of the war, but there are many prisoners of the war sitting in churches today. Lifting up their hands and worshiping and doing all that, but yet walking out bound. Wrapped up, amen, and struggling with this and that and the other, amen. A POW want to be free, but not don't know how to get free. Amen. Need somebody to come in and help them, amen, but not, you know, willing to speak up. Trapped being held, and amen, in prison by the sin that has captivated them, that they become entangled with. Anybody ever been entangled with stuff? You know, you ain't got no business being entangled with. Huh? It's in the house. Let me give you some passages. In Romans 7:23, he said, "But I see another law in my members." You know, he said, you know, the love of God and all that. But I see a law in my members warring against the law of my mind. See, my mind says no, but my body says something else. See, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It's got me tied up. Amen. Then we look at 1 Peter. I can't stay too long on these because we got some ground to cover. Amen. But I could stay there, but I can't because I got to keep moving. Amen. But in 1 Peter 2:11, he said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which warreth against the soul." It's a war. And these aren't just light words being thrown out there. It's a war that goes on. And many of us know we fought that war from time to time. Amen. And I hope you're still not fighting that war. If you are, there is hope. Amen. And we look at how the Apostle Paul instructed Timothy, amen, not to become a captive of the enemy in 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." As a soldier, fight. Don't just give in. Fight. It's hard. I got needs. Fight the good fight. As a soldier, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, "no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." It's a fight. We're not saying it's not a fight. It's a fight. It's a war. But remember we read the passage, he said that he's given us everything we need to quench all the fiery darts, everything we need. If we would just use the tools that he's made available, amen, and faithfully trust him, he makes a way. You know what I'm saying? He won't put no more on you than you're able to bear. But are you willing to put up a good fight? Some of y'all, some of us say, man, we get to that place. We say uncle too fast. You know, we just give up too quick. You know, why? You know, we'll get to that in a minute. And then I look at, you know, how do we respond in those places? And later on, you know, Apostle Paul again tells Timothy how to help those, amen, concerning how to deal with them, concerning those, and to reach out to them to help them that are stuck, amen. We go down to verse 24 and 26 in 2 Timothy 2. And he said, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." Got to be patient with people. Got to be willing to teach them the truth. Amen. "In meekness, instructing those," look at what he says. I didn't write this. "That oppose themselves." You're your own problem. You're opposing yourself. "If God preadventure, by chance, I might say, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Now, I want us to take note. Oppose themselves. So they need to acknowledge the truth. Amen. So that they can recover themselves from the snare of the devil, which has taken us captive. Amen. If that's you, don't say nothing. Don't holler. You know, sometimes you throw a rock in the crowd, you know who it hits, right? But I'm saying this with all sincerity. God wants to deliver you. God wants to rescue you from that place that's got you imprisoned. A prisoner of war. It's a war. And you are for God. You're not for the devil. But you've been captivated. You've been struck. You've given in, amen, to his tactics. So now I can't even worship him like I used to worship him. I can't praise him. I can't teach in those areas where I'm still struggling. I can't. You know, I've seen pastors in that very condition. Amen. They can't speak to this area because they're struggling in that area themselves. He wants to free us and deliver us so that we can go wherever it needs to go to help somebody else along the way. God does not want any of his people as POWs in the kingdom. He's made a way, amen, and he wants you to know that he loves you. He wants to love you right out of that place of imprisonment. And then we have MIAs, you know, the missing in action. You know, we see the black flag, and it's the POW-MIA flag, missing in action. Now, most of the time, the missing in action means those that are in an unknown status. We don't know where they are. We don't know if they're alive or dead. You know, we just don't know. So they're missing. They went to the fight, but then they disappeared. Does that sound like church? Kind of sounds like church folk. Amen. We went to the fight, but then we just kind of disappeared. You know, and there's no report of their actions or their whereabouts spiritually. They have no more effect on the war on either side. They're missing in action. Just gone. You know, sometimes MIAs, they just take off. And they get scared. I can't do it. And they find their way back home. Go back to the old way.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen. And then what happens after a while? The MPs show up at their door. And they take them back into custody. And they take them back to the military, and whatever the case is, a lot of times they get a discharge, dishonorable discharge, because they didn't fulfill their contract. You know, but we look at this in the spiritual realm. Wow. You know, sometimes the MIAs are actually POWs that have been unreported.
That's good.
They're imprisoned. They're trying to get away, but no one's reported where they are. The enemy's got them. Amen. And see, so they're unreported, hidden, amen, in the church, the business. They're not available to serve anymore. They're not available in any capacity, amen, for fear of being found out of where I am, missing in action. Or maybe they're spiritually dead and they need someone to come along and revive them. MIAs, amen. You know, but one of the worst MIAs is the one that's chosen to be a deserter.
Yes.
It's one thing to get captured.
Right.
It's one thing to get tricked and, you know, snared and all that and made a POW.
Right.
But it's another just that you know and you just say, you know what, bump that. I'm gone. Just turn your back and walk away.
Yes.
Amen. That's a deserter, amen. The enemy didn't get you. You just chose to desert your post. Amen. To walk away, amen. Amen. And you're no longer a threat to the enemy. You're no longer a help to the kingdom because you become a deserter, amen. And the enemy didn't do it. You can't blame it on him. You just decided, you know what, this is too hard. It just takes too much. You know, and we just throw in the towel and say, I'm done. You know, so they know the word, they know the truth of the Lord, but they decide to leave their posts and lay down their spiritual weapons for fear of missing out on something the world has to offer. It's taking too long, God. You're taking too long. I got to do it myself. You know, so they love God, but in reality, they love themselves more than they love God. And they're not willing to trust him and wait on him long enough. Let him show himself strong in whatever area, amen, they're longing for. They don't want to wait. I'm gone. I'll do it myself. Let's look at Revelations 3:15-16. He said, I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He's going to spit you out. You know, he said, see, well, why? Cold, I'm not no problem to nobody. I'm not trying to talk about God. I'm not trying to be no witness. I'm just cold. I'm just leaving everybody alone. I'm not a stumbling block to nobody. Right? You know, so yeah, you're not a problem. And hot, you're on fire for God. You're telling everybody about it. You're running hard. But lukewarm. That's where you find the stumbling block. Saying one thing and do another. Walking in hypocrisy. Lukewarm. Amen. Coming to church on Sunday after you've been at the club all night on Saturday. Shaking and drinking and doing all the things that the devil do. Then you come in, praise the Lord. Lukewarm. 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 Praise be to God. I'm just, you know, our life has got to line up. If we want the power of God to move in our life's got to line up with the will of God. Amen? I mean, he's not looking for perfection. I'm not, you know, because God sees perfection in ways that we don't. But he is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He knows right where you are. We'll deal with that in another day, which is coming very soon. You know, but we look at these things. But you know what? One of the verses that I, you know, when I looked at this same passage 15 and 16 in the Message Bible, he said, I know you inside and out and find little to my liking. You're not cold. You're not hot. Far better to be cold or hot. You're stale. You're stagnant. You make me want to vomit. I didn't write it. That's, you know, you talk to, you know. But it's not funny. I don't want God spitting me out of his kingdom. Of his presence. I don't want my life to make God sick. My actions, my ways to make him sick when he looks at it. Amen. I want him to be able to say, that's my beloved son. Or for your sister, my beloved daughter, in whom I don't want that boy to make me proud. That's what we want. Amen. Even though we might stumble, you know, and you know, but the fact is we get back up. And we keep on trying. We keep on pressing. We keep on, you know, moving towards him over and over again. But we don't just give up. We don't desert our post. We don't quit. Amen. We don't become an MIA deserter of the kingdom of God. God wants to give us the desires of our heart. He wants to. The Bible says it's his good pleasure. Amen. He wants to do that. In the Amplified Bible, in Matthew 6, 32 and 33. I want to share that with you. For the Gentiles, the heathens, wish for and crave and diligently seek after all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. He said, but seek, aim at, and strive after first of all his kingdom and his righteousness and his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. You know, the words he said, don't leave your post seeking after something. Seek him first. Yeah. And when you do that, he says, seek him first and all these things will be added to you. In other words, God's not trying to keep nothing from you. He wants to get it to you in the right way. Amen. He wants you to be in right standing and right position so that he can be a blessing to you. Amen. But when we get anxious and we get ahead of God, then we begin to lose sight of the big picture. You see, See, well, someone might be saying, well, MIA and the POW about the same, ain't they? No. No. See, the POW is one who is stuck there not because he wants to be there. He doesn't want to be there. You know, he's hoping he gets rescued. You know, he or she feels like if somebody would just come and pray with me, if I can just get somebody, if I just believe that somebody's going to come and fast with me and help me to overcome this and walk with me and give me the, you know, the accountability and the strength that I need to break these chains off of me, I can be set free. You know, but the MIA deserter, they're not stuck. They're not struggling. They're right where they want to be. Amen. And that's the sad part, because God doesn't want you there. Amen. Amen. Whatever it is, amen, that you're choosing to hold on to, amen, let go. Let go and let God have his way in your life. He still loves you. He still yearns for that relationship with you. He still loves you to the utmost. If you were the only one, he would have went to the cross just for you. And he's not trying to withhold anything from you. He wants to restore your spiritual condition with him into a good relationship with the Heavenly Father, where the devil don't have nothing to say about you. Amen. That's what he desires. And then we begin to move on. I can't stay there too long. Amen. I believe we understand God wants to set us free from both those positions. But then we come to another place that is sensitive in the church today. Amen. As we begin to look at, you know, is there are sympathizers. You know, I mean, even during the Holocaust, there were Nazi sympathizers, you know, who would support from afar, support from the side. Amen. You know, and today, in today's church, we have sympathizers. Amen. They love God. This person, you know, what is a sympathizer? It's someone that agrees with or supports sentiments or opinions that are contrary to the norms of society. And they're contrary, in this case, amen, to the truth of the Word of God. But we sympathize. And it's just not having sympathy, but it's coming along to accept and support those norms and those decisions and those actions and those choices. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to be ready to speak the truth in love and not, you know, just placate, but speaking the truth, amen, because, you know, we don't accept everything as a child of God, because God doesn't accept everything. He loves everyone. I don't want to keep driving that point home. He loves everyone. And he hates the sin that separates us from him. Amen. But he loves everyone, but he's not going to accept everything. The scripture lets us know that no sin is going to enter into his kingdom. None. So if you want to get in, you got to be willing to let go of the sin. Amen. Like the monkey, he won't let go of that apple or that banana. So he's stuck in the cage because it won't come through. And all they got to do is just walk up to the door and close it, because he don't have enough sense to let go so he can escape. Hallelujah. It's easy to catch them. Just put it there and put the fruit on the back side of the cage, and they'll come on in the cage and get the fruit, but now the fruit won't come back through the hole. In other words, you can't take that fruit with you. You got to let it go. Tell somebody, let it go. Be willing to let it go. Amen. Sometimes we sympathize sometimes because in some of these places hit close to home. They really do. We're sympathizers, amen, because we love our friends and our family members, and we love them, and we don't want them to be lost, and we don't want to ostracize nobody. No. But we can't, you know, be so supportive of the place that they're stuck, that now they're comfortable in the place because we've helped make them comfortable in that place. And we see it, amen. Sympathizes, amen, all kinds of adultery and fornication and all these things, amen, that are taking place. Any type of sin, we'd be sympathizing because my brother or my sister, they're gay, and I just love them, and I want to support. No, don't support them. Tell them the truth.
That's right.
I love you, but I don't support that lifestyle.
That's right.
That's not pleasing to God. You know, we got to be ready to go to the hard places. If we're going to fight this fight, we got to help rescue somebody along the way. Amen. We got to help. Amen. Because we see the enemy taking people captive and we just let them go. But you can only tell them so many times. But you still love them. But you don't approve of those places because those places are destroying them. Amen. And separating them from God and stealing their destiny, stealing their power, stealing their anointing. All those things are being taken away because the enemy wants to have his way. It's a war. It's a war that we are engaged in, amen. And it's not for the light of heart, amen, but we can do all things what? Through Christ who strengthens us. He's able to help us to be able to stand, amen. So we don't want to get in the place, amen, where we just continue to allow and not speak love. Amen. Love, amen. You know, the Bible says what? You know, about the Lord. He says he chastens those he loves. Sometimes we just need the Lord to come along and whoop our butt. Right? And it's not because he's mad at you. He's trying to snap you out of it. Amen. Yeah, oh, yeah, I know it works. He did it to me. You know, but he come along and he got to put a whooping on you sometimes. To get you to wake up, to get you to realize that this is not the way to go. I mean, it sounds good, feels good, and all, but not the way to go, because when it all comes down to it, it's all going to burn up with the using. And what am I going to be left with? You know how they say the dead man can't take nothing? You can't take that stuff with you. You can't take that relationship with you. But if you're in relationship with God, he's going with you. Huh? Only what I do for Christ. Come on now. So we got to be in that place. Let's look. And when we talk about the sympathizer, Ephesians 5. Start at verse number 6. It said, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children in the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Prove what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Tell them the truth is what he's saying. Correct it. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which were done of them in secret. But all things are that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. In other words, shine the light on it.
Yeah.
Amen. Expose
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Prayerfully to bring change.
Yeah.
Amen. To set free. Oh, my goodness. Even in Leviticus, it's 19 and 17. Bring that one up for me. It says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. In other words, that puts the responsibility on us. Amen. Just speak. Don't hate him because of where he's at, but rebuke him. In other words, bring correction in a loving way.
Yeah.
Amen. So that the sin doesn't have its way in his or her life.
Right.
Because I don't hate you, I love you. Say, why are you always in my business? Because I love you. Right? Why? Well, no, I'm here because I love you. You know, this ain't easy on either side. But it's necessary for the saving of the soul. We have work to do. It's a war. And see, and when we're engaging, you know, one of the hardest things in war is to go in to enemy territory to rescue the captives, because they're usually in fortified places, prisons. So you've got to put yourself in harm's way to get someone out of harm. In other words, you've got to lay your life on the line. Sometimes we have to feel like we've got to lay the relationship on the line just to tell the truth. But it's still worth it. Amen. Because why? We got to help them. Amen. We got to be that light. We got to be that one. You know, and there's others. Amen. And then I just got one more. I got a couple of them, really. But one more I really want to touch on here. There's more. Help us, Lord. But one of the ones that's prominent in the church, I keep talking about the church because this is written to the church. Right? You know, so when I look at it, he said, there's victims of friendly fire.
Yes.
Anybody in here been a victim of friendly fire?
Yes.
Say, what is friendly fire? That means when the ones on your side is shooting you. Hurting you. You know, sometimes it's accidental. Sometimes. Other times it's deliberate. Intentional. Wow. Amen. You know, so it shouldn't be in the church, but we got to be real.
Yes, sir.
Anybody ever been wounded by another Christian? That's what's known as friendly fire. They're on the same team, go to the same church, same worship team, praising the same God. And aiming at you. Gotcha. And what happens a lot of times, we fire right back. So if you're killing each other, the enemy ain't got to worry about you. Because you're going to eliminate each other, amen. The Bible tells us to love one another.
Yes.
Amen, but we're not doing that. In James 4, 1 and 2, it says this. From whence comes wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because you ask not. Wow. Fighting and warring with each other and have not because you ask not. What do you mean ask not? Did you ask for forgiveness? Did you ask for understanding? Did you ask to sit down and reason and find out what was going on in your, or did you just assume? I could say something, but I won't. You just assume that this is what they meant and they did it on purpose and therefore I am going to get them. I'm going to get even. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind because I know that they know what they did,
right,
and they didn't. See, you're just all up in your head.
Uh-huh.
All up in your head. Now, I know some of y'all been there.
Uh-huh.
Right? Right? All up in your head. And you haven't asked one question. Brother, sister, can I talk to you for a minute? This is what I felt when such and such happened, or you did so and so. And I don't want to be wrong. I don't want there to be nothing between us. So I'm just going to get some clarity so that we can keep on growing in Christ. But instead, y'all want me to write that down for you so you know how to? No. But instead, you done took it. You know how the Bible, how we say the Bible don't say it. He said, you know, guard your heart. But we done took offense. Took it. Even though they might not was trying to give it to you, you took it anyway. You caught that ball. Even though they was trying to throw it over your head, amen. Yeah, I know they're talking over my head. See how we take everything. Everything. No. We got to cast these things down and get these things out of our heart and out of our mind and say, you know what? I'm not going to be a victim of friendly fire, and I'm not going to be a causer of friendly fire. I'm going to fight a good fight of faith against the enemy. Because remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So if we're feeling these things, amen, then it's obvious, amen, that the enemy is trying to get up in this. Amen. And it's not just always with the child of God. Sometimes with folks that are unsaved. And even more, you should know how to represent Christ then, because that's a soul that can be reached by your humility. So we got to get to that place. Oh, my goodness. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. It's a war. And it's a serious war. And we have to continue to fight the good fight of faith. We have to continue to keep our hearts and our minds on Jesus. Amen. And realize, amen, that we don't want to be a POW. Amen. We don't want to be MIA. We don't want to be a deserter. We don't want to be a victim of friendly fire. Amen. We don't want to be in none of those places. We don't want to be a traitor or a defector. Amen. Walking away and just, you know, coming into alignment with the enemy. No, we want to stay sold out for God. We don't want to betray our allegiance to God. No, we want to stand on those principles and stay there. Amen. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Choose. Yes. And not only this, we got to choose every day. Every day, because the enemy is constantly coming at us every day. Amen. Trying to get us to turn left or right, trying to give us to get to a place. Amen. And then there's the conscientious objector. I'm wrapping it up. Because my time is about up. But you know, Sunday is the Lord's day. I was just talking with the elders. We were talking in the offices. And all, Sunday is the Lord's day. It's not the Lord's hour. It's his day. Amen. The whole day. Amen. So let's give him his due. Amen. Honor him. You know, but we look at, you know, you ever have somebody tell you, well, it don't take all that. Come on. I'm not talking about someone in the world. Come on now. In church. You know, they're kind of a conscientious objector. It don't take all that. Amen. I don't believe you need to do that and this and the other. You know what? I'm the kind of person I would rather do more than just barely squeak in. Because I don't know where the margin, where the line is.
That's right.
Right? So I'm going to do that and I'm going to add more to it. Mm-hmm. So I say, hey, don't take all that. You can do this and you can change. Look. It says in Romans 3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Okay, and I'm not talking about being judged by anybody but God. I'm going to overcome. Amen. Even when they talk about it, I'm still going to overcome. Right, because why? We're going to do as much as we can and more for the kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen. So don't let folk tell you it don't take all that. How you know? How you know what it takes? We all still trying to figure it out. We all still trying to make the mark. We don't know. Amen. But God does. Let's stand. I'm going to leave you with this last passage as we're standing. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 10. We already said we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, right?
Right.
Said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Every thought. See, we got to recognize who he is, amen. And as we stop fighting in the flesh and start walking in the spirit and understanding this spiritual realm in which we're engaged in as children of God and a part of his kingdom, amen, he has equipped us. But sometimes we don't even recognize our weapons of warfare. He wants us to get into that place and into his word that we recognize, amen, the warfare for what it really is. That way, not only can we safeguard ourselves according to his word, amen, in a world that's drawing further and further away from God, but we can also be a help to those that are in need, those that don't know him, those that are struggling, those that are captured by the cares and the affairs and entangled with this world once again. He wants us to be in a position to help set people free, to get them delivered, amen, to get them filled with his presence and his spirit, amen, so that they too can have victory. But you can't, if you imprisoned, how are you going to help somebody else? Huh? If you've given over to the devices of the enemy, how are you going to help somebody else? Amen. So we got to set ourselves free so that God can use us like he wants to use us. In our homes, well, don't even let me begin there. In our homes, the love of God should be so apparent and so real. Amen. Between husbands and wives and their children and parents. Your home should be a sanctuary for everyone that lives there. And if it's not, get to work. Let the love of God come in. Let the love of God be shed there, you know, because the scripture, you know, my pastor used to say, not scripture, but he said, charity begins at home and spreads abroad. And charity means love. He said, how can you say you love me and you don't love your brother or sister who you see every day? How can you say you love me and you can't even love on the one that's laying next to you? These are places the enemy has strongholds. And he wants to break those things, amen, so that we can be the light and be the example that he wants us to be. Because he loves us so much. I said, because he loves us so much. Amen. He wants us to rise and reach out to him. You know, how you say, just meet me halfway. Now, I think about the prodigal son. When he finally came back home, his father was sitting on the porch waiting for him, looking for him. And he'd been gone a long time, but I can imagine the father every day. Hallelujah. Every day going out there and just looking with a hope. Then one day he saw him. He didn't say, oh, here comes that no good son of mine. He didn't say that. Amen. But the scriptures tell us he took off running. Yeah. You know, and back there were those tunics, so he had to hike up his skirt. And you imagine this elderly man hike up his car and running to meet his son, to embrace his return. He wasn't mad. He was glad that his son was coming home. Stinky and dirty, smelling like the swine, but he was coming home. He said it cleaned him up and put a new robe on him and a ring on his fingers and shoes on his feet. He said, my son that was lost is now found. And I go more than that. But that's what he wants to do. He wants to embrace your, just a step, just step toward him and watch what he do. Watch what he do, because he's watching. So if you're here this morning and you need to get closer to God, I invite you to come. I'd love to pray with you. You need to let go of some things and draw closer to him. Those things that have maybe got you bound up, amen. Like I said, he wants to set the captives free. He don't want anyone in here bound up by anything, amen. Feeling like, well, Lord, I want to. But no, if you feel like you're a POW, come on out. Amen. If you've been MIA, come on out. Because he knows your condition. He's saying, will you acknowledge your condition and give it to me? To allow me to help you, amen, to be repatriated into my kingdom where you're supposed to be. Oh, hallelujah. We thank God for these that have come. And yet I'm praying for all those that have not come, because that means the enemy still got you. Amen. Because I know there's more of us in here. Amen. Or the enemy has got a stronghold here or there. And moreover, God knows a whole lot more than I do. Because he knows, like I said, he's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, God wants to set you free. God wants to set each and every one of us free and keep us free. You know, and we got to believe that. He's not mad at you. No. He loves you. In fact, he went to the cross because he knew we needed his help. We would need his help until he takes us out of here. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you right now with our hearts bowed down before you, God. Realizing and recognizing, Lord, that we are sinful beings. All of us, God.
Yes, yes,
and it's only because of your love and your grace and your forgiveness, Lord, that we can be set free, God. That we can break the yoke of sin, the bondage that the enemy wants to put up on us. Lord, that we can be set free, Lord, from the cares and the affairs, Lord, that draw us away from you. So I pray right now in your name. Lord, for your children that have come to this altar, God. Lord, to surrender themselves unto you, God. You know every struggle. You know every concern, God. You know every issue, Lord, that they're dealing with. Lord, even I would say better than they understand it, God. But they're here. They're here. They've come. They've stepped out. And saying, here am I, God. I need your help. So, Lord, we pray with them this morning. I said, we pray with them this morning, God, and with all those under the sound of my voice, I pray. Lord, that you would come by. Lord, and you would break every stronghold of the enemy. Lord, that you would break every yoke right now in the name of Jesus. The yokes of bondage, Lord, that tries to withhold us, Lord, from going forward and being who you've called us to be and doing what you've given us to do, God, for your kingdom and for your glory. We pray right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God, that we would take courage, Lord, to stand, Lord, and break the chains of wickedness, Lord, that want to hold us captive. Let your will be done right now. Meet them. Meet us where we are. Because, God, we want to go higher. We want to draw closer. We seek asylum in your kingdom, God. We seek, hallelujah, to be repatriated into a relationship with you. Lord, to walk in the ways that you designed and intended for us to walk, to have dominion over the things that want dominion over us. Have your way right now. In the name of Jesus, we cast down the works of darkness. We cast down the works of wickedness right now. Lord, and we embrace the authority of your word. Lord, and we receive the love of Christ that's being meted out to each one of us right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the victory. Now, Lord, help us to stand. Help us to stand. Help us to stand. Help the saints, Lord, to come alongside and to walk with us, God. Lord, to encourage us, to help us, to hold us accountable, Lord, to your ways and your will, Lord. Lord, that we not fall back again into the hands of the adversary. Lord, we want to be on the right side of this war. We want to take part in the victory that has already been declared to come. These things we pray right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Give God some praise. Amen. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Amen. If there's anyone here that hasn't given their life to Christ, today is a good day to do it. Hallelujah. Good day to get on the right side of this warfare. Amen. He's able. Fight. Because God wants us to fight.